Hello, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 14, Number 1. And for what it's worth, happy 2015.7. That's our star date. In the last edition of Clinical Review, my topic was Natural Health Hawaiian Style. My goal with this personal story was to demonstrate how simple it can be to just do whatever it takes to achieve your dream. That little tiny word do, D-O, there's so much in that little word. It's like gigantic, that word do. In my book, there are three basic steps. Number one, clarify your purpose. Two, acquire specific knowledge. And three, take action. That's the do word. Of course, you have to take risks and you have to be driven from the inside by a force that almost overwhelms you. It's much more than just wishful thinking. It's something that has to possess you and that you can't shake free of, even if you try, like a shadow cast by the sun. Try and run away from your shadow. It'll just follow you until you go into the darkness. All of the great scientists, philosophers, and inventors who achieved their own unique dreams and changed the world and made massive, significant contributions, well, they often seem eccentric, strange, introverted, and extravagant. And maybe that's because they are, but they can seldom discuss or think about anything except their passion. And this is exactly why I admire them. They're so focused on what they want that they will stop at nothing to achieve it. And I admire that. Even if it's something that I don't agree with in terms of what they're trying to achieve, I can separate the thing they're trying to achieve from that which is inside of them that's pushing them to achieve it. That is what I would like to capture, synthesize, and sell. Because if I could, I would be a quadrillionaire. Okay, my topic for this edition of Clinical Review is PSN number 23, the human cell. And man, there's a whole lot of stuff going on in that tiny little thing. The cell is the basic unit of life. Human health can be reduced to a single individual cell. I ask you, how well are you doing? And your response is, as well as my individual cells. Because we're only as healthy as them. Cells form clusters, an important network of activity, and they actually communicate with each other. The study of cells is called cell biology. Most plant and animal cells are visible only under the microscope with dimensions between 1 and 100 micrometers. The cell was discovered by Robert Hooke in 1665. According to the theory of evolution, considered by most biologists to be fact, cells emerged on Earth at least 3.5 billion years ago. So the Earth basically bubbled up for about a billion years and then for some reason or another, life and cells that came from that original life evolved. And here we are. The cell is a beautiful design of life, at least I think it is. It contains the blueprint of our DNA. It has protoplasm and organelles, but every cell, and there are about 200 different types of cells, all have something in common. They're alive. They're animated. And the stuff that makes them and keeps them alive is relative to genes, biological codes, chi, and energy. And of course, that's what sports nutrition is all about. Energy expressed. And the outcome of that should be excellent health, a robust, vitalized sense of well-being. The human body consists of approximately 100 trillion individual cells. Now, that's a huge number, but even this number is exceeded by the number of bacteria and microflora in the average gastrointestinal tract, now known as the microbiome. The human microbiome consists of a great number and variety of bacteria, fungi, and microbes. It's literally a thriving community of symbiotic and pathogenic microorganisms that outnumbers our own cells by a factor of, guess what, 10 to 1. 10 times 100 trillion? Well, that's the next series up. That, I believe, is a quadrillion. I mean, that's an amazing number of things. The human microbiome is located throughout the body, but is concentrated in the digestive tract. Its disturbance, and this is common, is associated with autoimmune diseases like diabetes, rheumatoid arthritis, muscular dystrophy, multiple sclerosis, fibromyalgia, some cancers, common obesity is related, schizophrenia, depression, bipolar disorder, and other neurochemical imbalances, all related to disturbances of the microbiome. I mean, we're just tapping into this. And I learned about this 30 years ago. And now convention is finally starting to recognize the significance of what is called the microbiome. Now, essentially, there are two distinct types of cells that exist in nature. Prokaryotic, which belong to the blue-green algae and bacteria. And then our cells, eukaryotic, which also include everything else that's alive, including higher plants, animals, fungi, protozoa, and most other algae. The cell is a highly organized unit that continuously engages in endless metabolic activities. This is why our cells have to be healthy. This is also why the environment we bathe ourselves in is relative. If we consume toxins and environmental waste and pollutants and microorganisms that can damage our cells, like what you get in tap water, our cells make up tissues and organs. So what we bathe ourselves in, what we bathe our tissues and organs in, they're all going to be affected negatively. We're going to experience a reduced quality of life and impairment of function if we don't bathe them in the right optimum environment. Now, each cell contains our DNA. I mentioned that, the blueprint and code of who and what we are. Your genome, that's your tag. If I took a cell out, I could clone you. I don't know if I'd want to clone some people, but I certainly would like to be cloned. DNA can be subdivided into chromosomes and genes that contain instructions for protein and enzyme synthesis. It's been said that each individual cell is a mini protein factory. This is why we need to learn about protein, how it's made, and how genes are involved in the process of synthesizing it. In 1990, the international scientific community launched the Human Genome Project for the purpose of mapping and identifying the sequence of the entire human genome. In June 2000, scientists completed the first working draft of the human genome, yielding the location of each of the approximately 20,000 genes in human DNA. The U.S. Human Genome Project was a 13-year effort coordinated by the U.S. Department of Energy and the National Institutes of Health. The project originally was planned to last 15 years, but rapid technological advances accelerated the completion date to 2003. Currently, in terms of what's going on right now, much of the work is dedicated to determining the sequences of the 3 billion chemical base pairs that make up human DNA. That is C and G and A and T. And you can follow that ladder as it's twisting and see the connection between A and T and G and C. Although the completion of the Human Genome Project was celebrated in April 2003, and sequencing of the human chromosomes is essentially finished, the exact number of genes encoded by the genome is still unknown. That's right, 2015, we still don't know the exact number. The International Human Genome Sequencing Consortium, led in the U.S. by the National Human Genome Research Institute and Department of Energy, reduced the estimated number of human protein coding genes from 35,000 to about 21,000, a surprisingly low number for our species. So the complexity of a species does not relate to the number of protein-coding genes. I think there are many plants, there are many animals that have far more of these kinds of genes than we do. And they're not as complex, at least we don't think they are. Researchers have confirmed the existence of 19,599 protein-coding genes in the human genome and identified another 2,188 DNA segments that are predicted to be protein-coding genes. How our genes express themselves is defined as our phenotype. When you see a dude or a dudess, that's their phenotype. That's their genes expressing themselves. That's what you see. This is the part of us considered to be flexible, pliable, or in science they say it's plastic. We know that changing our environment within ourselves and without our external environment can lead to an infinite number of possible phenotypes or outcomes. Identical twins, for example, are now no longer considered to be truly identical due to the subtle differences that each is individually exposed to and influenced by throughout their lives. Our biological hardware is called our genotype, like the hardware in a computer. But we can download any variety of software programs. For example, we can change our behavior, we can change our thoughts, we can take dietary supplements, we can train and get fit, and then ultimately we can express our genes in radically different ways. Or we can do the opposite of all of that and then get a different outcome. Or we can do some of it and get another outcome. It is an infinite number of variations. In other words, the hand that we were dealt with, that we didn't choose. Anyone out there choose your mom and dad? Before you existed, did you choose them? I don't think so. So you and I have a set of genes that can be expressed in numerous ways, good or bad, depending on where and how we live. And this is a great paradigm to understand, because no matter how bad it is, no matter how bad you think you've got it, you can change. You can get educated. You can travel. You can make money. You can succeed. You can do things that people in the past said you couldn't do. That is so important to understand as a human being, because there's a lot of people around that will tell you you can't for whatever reason. They're jealous. They're filled with resentment. They're damaged goods. They will tell you. They will pound it into your brain as a child. You're useless. You're a failure. You'll never amount to anything. And you know why? Because they are a failure. They are not amounting to anything. And they have failed humanity because they're not demonstrating progress. The development and maintenance of an organism is facilitated by a vast network of chemical reactions that switch parts of the genome off and on at strategic times and locations. We're starting to figure out how this stuff works. It's incredible. Epigenetics, now hold on to that word. That's an important word for 2015. Epigenetics is the study of these reactions and the factors that influence them. Epi originates from the Greek meaning over, above, or outer. So we've got our genome and we've got another one, another set of values above it that surrounds it. And now they're saying that that's more important than the actual genome underneath. The human genome dynamically responds to its environment, in fact, much more so than what former scientists and great thinkers ever imagined. Stress, diet, behavior, toxins, and other factors activate chemical switches that regulate gene expression. Now, recent studies have shown that many environmentally induced differences are acquired via the epigenome. The epigenome controls the differential expression of genes in specific cells. Nature and nurture certainly work together, but to what extent or percentage? Let me tell you the answer. Unknown. And it's different for every single organism, including every human. But every single yeast cell, every single bacteria, every single snowflake is unique. For more than 100 years, researchers have compared characteristics in twins, identical twins, in an effort to determine the extent to which traits like blood type are inherited and which traits are learned from the environment, such as athletic skill. I'm a hammer thrower. I wasn't born with the innate ability to throw the hammer. No human is. Spiders can spin webs without ever being taught. Birds can migrate. There's all kinds of things we're learning about animals, and it seems to be built in to the message signaling system. They just do it without thinking. We, on the other hand, are basically empty at the beginning. And I'm talking in terms of knowledge of physics and math and science. No baby is born with the knowledge that 2 + 2 = 4. That has to be taught. And the things that we are taught, if they are false, we believe to be true, and essentially will ruin us. And it will take a hell of a lot of detoxification and therapy to undo the damage that's been done to countless numbers of young people. Molecular genetics has given us new tools to use when examining traits in twins, because they are genetically the same, but their environments become more unique as they age. Identical twins are an exceptional model for studying how environment and genes interact. I mean, the twin studies is what broke this whole field wide open, because they realized you got basically clones and they're not identical and they don't think the same and they don't function the same and they don't even end up being the same. One can be taller or shorter or bigger or fatter or faster or slower. I mean, it's bizarre. And yet they came from the same original genome. This has become increasingly important when studying complex behaviors and diseases too. Medicine is getting involved, and that's great. When only one identical twin in a pair gets a disease, for example, and this happens all the time, clinicians look for differences in environment. Data is collected and compared for large numbers of affected twins and coupled with lifestyle records, DNA, and gene sequencing analysis. Identical twin studies can help identify the exact molecular mechanisms of certain disease pathologies, and this insight can help prevent human suffering. But it also demonstrates how wrong the so-called experts were who argued against the significance of nurture or environment as a primary contributing factor in function and health as a biological outcome. I mean, do you know how many people I've heard say, it's all my genetics. Everything is genetics. They're wrong. They are wrong. They're wrong. Okay? That doesn't mean that some of what and who we are isn't genetics, the hardware. But what this new evidence-based medicine is saying is that, baby, you got a whole lot more to do. And it's in the doing and in exposure and the change, which is constant, that is something that we can have our thumbs in like a pie and we can control. We can taste something, it tastes good or bad. We decide what we are going to do, not our genes. Think twice when someone says their excess body fat is purely genetic, or that you're lucky because you're so lean and in fantastic shape. Oh, you're so lucky. This line of thinking is antediluvian. And what does that mean? In this context, of course, it means an attitude or belief that belongs to the time before the biblical flood. And guess what? There weren't no biblical flood. That's all made up. So everything that was believed that's related to that is also made up. It means when people pull this stuff out and throw it at you and they try and nail you down, it means that their ideas are ridiculous, they're outdated, and lacking 100% in evidence. And ladies and gentlemen, this is an evidence-based world we're living in, and if there's no evidence to substantiate any claim, it's quite possible and most likely that the claim is false. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from Dr. Woodson Merrill, author of The Detox Prescription, Supercharge Your Health, Strip Away Pounds, and Eliminate the Toxins Within. This exciting new field of epigenetics, meaning literally around the gene, allows us to see how environmental factors alter our gene expression in a specific place within each cell. As a result, We now know that when we take active control of these factors, we can literally help control our health and genetic destiny.